Billy Bush is with us today. And it's been a long time since I've had a corridor with you to talk. Kind of, it's really neat to catch up with you. Finally, a book about Billy Bush's life, A Front Row View on Life, with Phil Gifford. It's a talk kind of tenakwe. It's great to talk with you, Billy. Sorry, mate, I haven't spoken to you for 10 years or something, which is a bit of a, I'll give myself an uppercut, but it's great that you've got a puka-puka out. Are you keeping well, Bill?
Yeah, well, you know, getting a bit rusty around the edges, hobbling along.
Oh, cut it still, out. Hobbling
still
along.
Still waking up.
Oh, that's a good thing. How old are you now, Billy?
going on 75.
Oh, good, mate. I'm glad you've written a book.
Still working.
What do you do for mahi, Billy?
I drive tour buses down around the South Island, sometimes up the North Island. Yeah.
You'd be an awesome tour bus driver, too. Do they know this is the famous Billy Bush, or you don't tell them?
Oh, sometimes they do. Oh, well, the boss normally puts my name on there, X All Black, and they all want a photo, and I say $10. Affiliations. No, it's a good job. Something to do, you know. You got to keep your roll-offs ticking over. You got any?
I reckon so. Hey, why is it taking so long for you to get a book, Billy?
Well, I didn't intend writing one, but my mate, you might have heard of him, a guy by the name of Ryman Health. You know Ryman Health? The guy that owns Ryman Health.
Yeah.
There's a guy by the name of Kevin Hickman. And he played in the back line for my club out at Belfast. He always admired me, mate, in the All Blacks. And, of course, he ended up a multimillionaire. And I was always broke. And he said to me, you've got to write a story about your life. Kept on, because I was always with him. He had a lot of racehorses, and I was always at his corporate box. And he said, you've got to write a story, mate. And I said, oh, I'm broke. And he goes, I'll sponsor you. So he goes, go and find out how much it costs. And that's how it started. So when he gave me the money, I had to write it. And we wrote about 500 pages, one book, my ghostwriter did. But Phil Gifford said, you can't put that in the book. So he threw half of them out. Ended up with 250, I think, pages.
How would you describe the book? Is it the life and times of Billy Bush or anecdotes through your sporting career?
No, just the way I was brought up. Down Raukokere, I hear all those names, Waititi, they're all my mum's relations. So my mum's from Raukokere, down Waiho Baby. And I went to school down there in Raukokere, and of course the car high school shut down, and I ended up going to Whakatane High School for a year and a half, and got my bloody postal digger, and I left school, my PhD, I mean, postal digger, and left school and went and got a job at the oil refinery, and I was only about 14. Bullshit, we were 16. Me and my cousin, Billy Kingy. And, that's what I really... I talk about that.
Well, what I like, you know, there's been a humility in the way you've rolled through life, Bill, and just the reason... When the Christchurch earthquakes occurred, Billy was kind enough to be our go-to man. You'll recall that time. It's now 12 years ago, Bill? Because I still really appreciate it. His house was damaged, and he was able to just sort of paint a picture of what it was like, the unnerving nature of earthquakes. So, and, of course, Willie Jackson used to have Billy on his sports show all the time, but Willie used to think he's a better footballer than Billy Bush. But anyway, that's another story as well. You might include that in your book.
He doesn't talk to me now. He walks straight past me now. He's the Prime Minister.
So. Is that right? Have you changed at all? Do you still look the same?
No. I'm still the same, mate.
You're still a big guy? Or what? Have you shrunk over the years, Bill?
No. I put on a wee bit of weight. Probably 10 kgs heavier than when I played.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. This day and age. And good on you. I didn't realise you'd be 75. But I'm pleased that the book is coming out. And hats off to Kevin Hickman, too, who recognised there is a neat story here. How would you summarise the book yourself?
Well, I'd like to see young Māori come and look the way I carved out a life for myself. I'm one of 16 children, one number 16 out of 17, actually. And we struggle. We live like Soweto. People don't really believe us, but that's how we live down our Kokiri, off the land, dirt floor, shacks, old shack, boy house. But enjoyed it immensely, riding horses to school and all that, you know. And then I ended up meeting the Queen. I ended up playing for the All Blacks, you know, great club. You can never imagine playing for the All Blacks, but it was fantastic. And of course, the Māoris, they had a different way. They had the Wairu. I prefer the Māori way because we were always happy when we played. And the All Blacks were quite dour to the lead up to any game. And, you know, he specifically had a job. When you do that bloody job, well, you didn't get the next tour. Where's the Māoris? If you could play the guitar, well, you were the number one. And that's how it was. But, great memories.
And, you know, I respect that, you know, this is not fluffed out. The realities of dirt floor, 17 kids, you know, hard life. You mentioned Soweto. This is, it's important to get down to the real nuts and bolts. While you're a fine footballer too, we've got issues nowadays of lingering concussions. I'm curious to know whether that's been something you've had to contend with. Also, Bill, racial targeting at times, the South African situation. Let's have a look at some of them. You sound pretty lucid, mate. Have you had any issues with sort of, all the head knocks that you would have taken in your career, as has surfaced with other athletes in modern times?
No. I did get knocked out a few times, but I made out I wasn't hurt, because if you did, you're a pussy. So you jumped up and a bit of ice come over your head and you carried on. But nowadays, you weren't allowed to come off. Unless you were struck off by the doctor, you had to sign you off. Otherwise, you couldn't come off. So we carried on. I don't know. I think it's just a different way we were brought up, you know. Like I'm talking about, the hard realities of life, the way I was brought up. And you got caned at school, then you got a bloody good hiding at home when you played up. The old man found out. He used to give me a belt in. So you learned the hard way. So we were brought up differently too compared to today. Some of these young guys mollycoddled until they get onto the rugby field, basically.
Racism in rugby?
Could be today, but of course South Africa, you know, the calibre they had over there. And it could be in rugby today, I think there is. But, well, Christchurch wasn't a very good place for Māori to come to. But I sort of found that they expected you to be like them, and if you weren't, to bugger off. And that's, when I came here, I was basically the only Māori from Rukawainahu. I think he was, of course, Tiny Hill before me. But there wasn't many Māori played rugby, and you had to come up to their standards. They had a like an initiation here. That, you know, that I got knocked around by Alistair Hopkins quite a bit, but I kept on, you know, getting back in his face as well. So we ended up playing together in the end.
The book's not just about rugby, though, is it, Billy? Life's lessons, which are somewhat universal. You know, stand tall, be proud. Grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. These are concepts that could be utilised or spoken of in and outside of sport. So have you had a satisfying life? Have you enjoyed life?
Yeah, I got my house paid off. I don't have to work. But I got a lovely partner. I can just retire and just live out the next, 10 years or so I've got. with my partner and I. Maybe go cruising somewhere, but we've done that. Been there, done that. Maybe, you know, I just sit around home.
Well, you'd be a great tour bus driver, I know that, because, you know, you're not without a bit of humour. You had to have, too, if you, you know, played and coached the Māori rugby team. You know,
oh, yes.
Yeah, they don't want to dry balls at the helm, do they, Billy Bush?
No. No, I talk about, well, most of them know more about you, more about where you are, each town you go to, because they just Google it. And they know more than I do. But I talk about the Māori, how we arrived here, and I bullshit quite a bit.
I tell you, Billy. And they send it, what they do you mean you bullshit? What are you telling the well, well, passengers?
I had a few, you know. But they can't Google that, how we arrived here, you know, how we come out on a hollowed out log and no motor and no compass and found this country. I talk about that a lot. Really interested in it.
I like your description. Came out in a hollowed out log, did we? No compass. No motor.
Yeah.
Can't Google that one. Yes. Can't dispute it, eh, Billy? Right. Look, there's some nice little touches here. And Phil Gifford's, you know, he's been responsible for helping a lot of guys pen their memoirs. What about your relationship with Phil? That stretched back a bit too, wouldn't it, Billy?
Yeah, as a player. And of course he lives here in Christchurch now. And before he went back up to Auckland, he was here as well. And I knew him then. But yeah, he followed my career, so he knew more about me probably than myself.
Am I okay calling you Billy? Hey, or do you prefer Bill?
Oh, well, that's not even my name, really. My proper name is Kingi.
Oh, is it?
Kingita. Kingita Ngāhere te pohe.
Well, how did Billy Bush come to be?
Well, Ngāhere was the name they picked the Pākehās, because it was easy to translate it into. And that's our proper name, is Ngāhere te pohe. Te pohe is our proper second name. Ngāhere is a hyphenated name. They use that. My grandfather, great-great-grandfather's name was Pātaka Ngāhere te pohe. And, of course, the Pākehās couldn't pronounce either word, so I just translated Ngāhere te Bush, and that's how it happened way back then. And, of course, I got a nickname, Billy, and it just stuck to me. I didn't know I was going to make the All Blacks. Didn't even know I was going to play rugby, but, yeah, that's how it sort of worked out.
And have you had any thoughts of reverting back to your proud and original Ingoa Māori?
Well, if anybody calls me Kingi, I know they're from either Te Haroto, where my father comes from, or Raukokore or Whakatāne, the Gaulu fellows I went to school with. All my schoolmates used to say to me I was bloody useless when I was at school, when I go back there. And I said, well, I never saw you fellows at the All Black Trolls. And they shut them up straight away, you see. But, I go back home quite a bit and have a bit of a laugh with my schoolmates.
Well, I love the way that you've retained a down-to-earth attitude. Some guys can think, you know, that they're king of the castle when they put the black jersey on. You remain a very down-to-earth man, and it comes across in the way that you talk about stuff. So I'm pleased that this book is out. Are you too? What are you making of the reaction to its release?
Oh, judging from last night, we had the launch here at my club rooms in Belfast, my Belfast club. Didn't really know what to expect, but Ian Kirkpatrick came down because he did a foreword for me, and Grizz turned up, and a lot of the... Arthur Stone and them were there. Peter Goldsmith was there, and you know, a lot of Māori All Blacks, Jimmy Love, and a lot of Canary players that didn't make the All Blacks that I played with turned up. Vance Stewart, favourite New Zealand Māori, he was there. Dallas Seymour and them, all the Bashford boys, and the coverage was chocker. It was quite amazing, really. Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect, really, but yeah, great support.
Great support, because you're a great guy and you value relationships, and I just want to congratulate you from afar. I'm looking forward to reading the book now that I've had a yarn with you, Mr. Ngāhere Te Pohe. Hey, Billy, and the next time I talked with Willie Jackson, I'll say Billy wants to remind you, you are my hundy. How's that sound?
Yeah, Willie came to Rarotonga with me at the very end. He was a reporter for Radio Waiate.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, when you were coaching the Māori team, eh?
Yeah, and he said to me, "Boy, I haven't got enough money to go right around the tour." We went to Rarotonga first, and then we're heading to Samoa, Tonga, and Fiji. He says, "I haven't got enough money to come right around with you fellas. We all right if I sleep in your room?" And I said, "Yes, I've got a job for you," because Colin Mees was my manager. And I said, "You can be our co-marketeer." So he collected the socks and he gave all the speeches for us in Māori. So thus, me and Colin were very worried about who was going to do that job. Colin said, "I'm not bloody doing it. It's your job." So, yeah, it was Willie's first tour, I think. Now he's nearly Prime Minister.
Well, it would be a strange day if he became Prime Minister, but hey, some strange things have happened in life, including our friend Billy Bush releasing his first book about his extraordinary life at the age of 75. The latter bit doesn't matter so much. It's the story that's important. Neat cover too. I like the cover when you're at your when you're at your fearsome best. A front row view on life. $33.99. It's out and about in bookstores now, after being launched last night at the Belfast Club, and amidst a whole lot of great people. Really good catching up with you again, Billy. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us on the program.
Okay, Joe.
Okay, mate.
Ka kite awa.
Yep, ka kite awa. Good guy,